I'm going to finish up the message this morning. I didn't want to spend another Sunday morning on the subject of hypocrisy. This morning was the third message on this subject from Luke chapter 11 and 12. So I decided we'd just finish up the morning message this evening before we have some hamburgers together. Hypocrisy has been the subject for three Sunday mornings now. Hypocrisy comes from the Greek theater. It comes from the dressing rooms of the Greek theater. To be a hypocrite simply means to put on a mask and to act a part that is different from who you are as a real person. And so the masks of the Greek and the Roman theaters became the symbol of what it means to act like somebody that is not who you really are. So that was not that was just a word from the workforce. It was from the entertainment world. It was just a word that was used, not derogatory, not demeaning in any sort of way. But Jesus Christ took that word from the world of acting, and he applied that word to people who do that religiously, who act on the outside a part that's different from what they are on the inside. And so Jesus Christ began to address the subject of hypocrisy. In the two previous Sunday mornings prior to today, we watched Jesus Christ as he unfolded six characteristics of religious hypocrites. He was applying this. He was speaking to unsaved people in the religious leadership of Israel. He was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes. The lawyers who studied the law of Moses and who taught the law of Moses, the scribes who recorded and copied the scriptures for the people, the Pharisees who had developed a very intense religious system of man-made tradition based on what the scribes and the lawyers taught, and the Pharisees developed a very intense set of traditions, of man-made practices that they began to put the weight of God's truth on those traditions and took them out of the realm of man's opinion or man's traditions that man came up with and began to require people to do that in order to appease God and to be able to be good enough to earn a place in God's family and in heaven. And so Jesus Christ taught to these unsaved Pharisees and lawyers that they were hypocrites. They were unchanged on the inside. They were not saved, forgiven, walking with God on the inside, but yet they put a religious exterior on themselves and claimed to be religious good people. And that was very distasteful to Jesus Christ. So he was addressing the subject of religious hypocrisy to the scribes and the Pharisees, the lawyers. And we looked at all six of these characteristics of these lawyers. After Jesus Christ had left the house where he had taught in Luke 11, at the end of the chapter, the Pharisees, the lawyers that had really borne the brunt of Jesus' scathing rebuke, beware, Pharisees, lawyers, hypocrites. It was a very scathing rebuke that they endured there at that dinner party. They spilled out onto the streets, and the word of what had happened began to spread. And so chapter 12 that we opened up this morning shows us an innumerable multitude of people, so much that they trode one upon another. So the crowd has grown. People are interested. What in the world did this teacher teach? What has he said to our religious leaders? And so crowds of people gathered, so much so that they were stepping on each other's feet and they were just packed in. And Jesus took this opportunity to turn to his own disciples. He called them his disciples and he called them his friends. And he began to speak to them about the subject of hypocrisy, the potential of hypocrisy influencing the lives of saved people as well as unsaved. So this morning, that's what we were considering. Jesus Christ, in his message, beware apostasy, or hypocrisy rather, beware hypocrisy that was directed at his own followers. This morning we noted that there were three parts of his message. He started with a warning. In verse number one, he warned them. He said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And so he gave a very strict warning to his own friends, his own followers, that they not be influenced in that same vein, those six characteristics, that they do not allow hypocrisy in their lives. He then gave two reasons why. But we noticed that verse number two began with the word for, and verse number four began with the word and I say unto you. So what he did is he gave two reasons why it's important not to be a hypocrite as a genuine believer. Why we should not allow the religious hypocrisy of the unsaved to taint our lives. That we be careful that we do not put on a show that's not an accurate reflection of who we are as a person. And the problem with this. So he gave us two reasons why he warns us to beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. We saw the first reason was that hypocrisy is dangerous. The danger of apostasy is that while we think that we are exuding a goodness to other people so that they think highly of us, the reality is God will not allow that to go on. He's going to sooner or later rip the mask off and allow people to see what we really are. He even said that the words that we whisper in someone's ear in a closet that we think nobody heard. You know what you say to people you think nobody else knows about? Jesus said it's going to be shouted from the housetops. And that's how they made public announcements. Someone would get up on the flat roof of a housetop. You have a big crowd of people. Someone would get up on the roof of the housetop and they would shout it from the housetop to announce to everybody. So you can see the mental picture here that Jesus Christ is painting of somebody hid away in a little closet whispering quietly into someone's ear. And yet then that very thing being shouted from the housetops. Do you know what so-and-so said to so-and-so? And it shouted out for everyone to hear. What you type on your computer screen in an email or a text message will be announced from the housetops. What you think is a private conversation will become a public conversation. There's nothing you think, say, or do that will not sooner or later become public knowledge. If it doesn't happen in our immediate experience here in this world, it will at the Bema Seat Judgment when every man stands before God and gives an account for everything done in the body, whether it be good or evil. Sooner or later, either in this life or standing before God in front of the saved of the ages, your insides will be turned outside for everyone to see. Hypocrisy is dangerous because it is never kept hidden. It always becomes public knowledge. And so therefore he's warning us. He's warning us. You've got to be careful not to be in private different than what you are in public, because what is private never remains private. It's dangerous. And then the second reason is that hypocrisy is always punished. And he talked about how that we need to fear God. God, that the hypocrites, the religious hypocrites that were unsaved, should have been concerned about fearing God because he had the power to send them to hell. And so the subject of judgment came up. And Jesus Christ is challenging us not to fear what people can do to persecute us for standing for truth, but to fear God who judges all. And then we saw at the conclusion of that, in verse number 6 and 7, that the reason why Jesus taught this was out of compassion. You know, it's a hard sermon. It's a hard message that Jesus Christ gave, both in the home of the Pharisee and then to his disciples, his friends. This is hard stuff. And yet Jesus did that not to take away the fun of living a sinful life. He didn't say this because he was against us. You know, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. He's not a killjoy that's trying to make us miserable. He has taught this because of how compassionate he is to his children. He doesn't want us to face judgment and give an account for bad stuff. So he challenges us to live transparent, holy, godly lives. Don't surf anywhere on the internet that you wouldn't want the whole church family to know about. Don't type a private text message that you don't want your mom and dad or your friends or your family to be aware of. Don't do anything, say anything. Don't be in private different than what you are in public. And Jesus tells us this because he knows it's going to be public one day. And so out of compassion, he says, I know the trivia of life. I know the sparrows, every one of them are numbered. I know the numbers of the hairs on your head. I know everything about everything. And so I know you. I know what you are on the inside. I know what other people don't yet know about you. But they're going to know it about you. And so I'm telling you this because I care about you. I don't want you to face the embarrassment of your insides being made public and you being embarrassed because of it. Or worse than that, standing before God and giving account at the judgment seat of Christ and being judged for your hypocrisy. I care enough about you. I want to warn you so that you will avoid such catastrophe in the future. That brought us down to verse number 8 where we ended for lack of time. And so let me take the last about 10 minutes to share with you verse number 8 to 12. There was one challenge. It's obvious that a showdown is coming between the religious apostates who are going to kill the body of Jesus. He alluded to that in verse number 4. The religious hypocrites that persecute those who stand for truth. He talked about it. It is one of the characteristics in chapter 11. The fact that they would persecute the prophets for telling them the truth. There's a showdown coming. They're going to put Jesus Christ to death. And those who live transparent lives of holiness, who stand for truth, who stand for Christ, who take the gospel out to the world, those people are also going to be persecuted by the religious hypocrites that crucify Jesus Christ. And so there's a showdown coming, and it's going to be serious. And so Jesus challenges his disciples. He challenges his friends to stand for truth. Here's the one challenge in verse number 8. He says, "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be not denied before the angels of God." Jesus Christ says, it's time to stand for me. The time has come. The crucifixion is just in front of us. I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth with the gospel. Religious hypocrisy must be torn down. We must tell the people the truth about the phoniness of the religious leaders. We must announce to the world the hypocrisy of man-made religion. We must make it clear to people lest they... Remember, one of the characteristics of religious hypocrisy in chapter 11 was that the religious leaders are not going to heaven. And that's bad enough, but what's worse is the people they are telling lies to are not going to go to heaven. And so this thing of man-made religion that is so damaging to people, this must be torn down. We must preach the truth. We must let people know that their church denominations, their Islam, their Buddhism, their whatever, all of the man-made religions that substitute the works of the flesh to make one worthy of heaven, that's got to be torn down. We must tell people the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's time for you to stand up for me against the religious hypocrites. That's Jesus' challenge. It's time to stand up for me. If you will confess me before men, if you will go out and deliver my message to people, then I'll stand up for you before the throne of God. If you refuse to stand up for me, I won't stand up for you. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to stand up for Jesus Christ in this world of controversy over religion and what is truth and what is false, what is man-made and what is God-given. A challenge to stand for the truth of God in these difficult times. Then there's a second part of the challenge. It's given in verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, "And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost it shall not be forgiven." You remember that earlier in chapter 11, the religious hypocrites were accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed. Do you remember that was earlier in chapter 11? That's what kind of started this whole conversation that Jesus has been having, that we've been studying on Sunday mornings. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, they couldn't deny that Jesus Christ had supernatural power. They couldn't deny the miracles he performed. They couldn't deny when a dead person is raised to life, a blind person begins to see, a storm settles down at his command. They couldn't deny he had supernatural power. So they decided that they would attribute that supernatural power to Satan. They said, "You are casting out devils by the power of Satan himself." And so that's in the backdrop of what has just happened prior to this conversation. And so Jesus says it's also time to stand up for the Holy Spirit. You can say something against me and be forgiven, but when you start calling the Holy Spirit Satan, when you start saying that the power of the Holy Spirit that has enabled me to perform these miracles is in reality the power of Satan, that is an unpardonable sin. You've heard the phrase unpardonable sin. What is an unpardonable sin? Well, the unpardonable sin cannot be committed by anyone alive today. The unpardonable sin was a sin committed by people during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ who watched his miracles, who saw what he did, and said, "You are working under the power of Satan himself." Jesus says, that is not forgivable. The unpardonable sin. So what Jesus is saying is, it's time to stand up for the Holy Spirit. It's time to stand up for what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in my life and ministry. It's time for you to remember in chapter 11, we said no neutrality. He said, you're either against me or for me. You're either 100% in or you're against me. There's no neutrality. You're for me or against me. That issue was about the Holy Spirit power that was enabling Jesus Christ to perform his miracles. And so Jesus Christ now brings this thing to the disciples and says it's time to stand up for the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit empowers me to perform a miracle, it's time for you to draw the line and tell people what side you're on. Do you believe that that was just the power of Satan, or do you believe that was the power of the Holy Spirit? Don't you commit the unpardonable sin of the Pharisees, the religious hypocrites that denied the power of the Holy Spirit. Stand up for the Holy Spirit and acknowledge you believe that I am operating under the power of the Spirit of God himself. If you do so, then you are forwarding my work. The next step in that is in verse number 10 to 12, when he said that whosoever shall speak a word against, verse number 11, and when they bring you under the synagogues and under the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how ye ought, what thing ye ought to answer, ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. See, this Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus Christ to do what he did, that same Holy Spirit is going to be with the disciples as they fan out across the earth to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are going to depend upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're going to be called before magistrates. You're going to be arrested by the authorities, and you're going to be accused of being against Caesar. You know, Paul was eventually put to death because of all of that with Caesar. Some of the apostles were arrested and put to death because they were preaching an illegal religion of Christianity at a time when that was not acceptable and permissible. You're going to be called before magistrates. You're going to be accused of spreading the teachings of Jesus Christ. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you to know what to say. You ever been in a situation where you're called upon to give an answer for what you believe and how are you going to know what to say? Well, Jesus said to them, you need such a relationship with the Spirit of God that when you're called before the magistrates, when you're called to give an account for why you believe what you believe, when you have the opportunity to stand up for Jesus Christ and stand up for the Holy Spirit, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to help you to know what to say when you're put on the spot and you have to say something. You need to stand up for me. You need to stand up for the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus' challenge to his disciples against the backdrop of religious hypocrisy. We need such a godly life. We need such a transparent life. we need such an inward holiness and purity and morality in our hearts and lives that we know that the Spirit of God will use us, will minister through us, will give us what to say at the right time, at the right place. You've been in situations where someone has asked you something, you gave an answer, and you thought, how did I come up with that? Or someone asked you a question and a verse popped into your mind and you shared that verse. You said, how did I know that? And you need the Holy Spirit of God to bring to your remembrance, to know what to say and when to say it, to have the right thing at the right time. We need godly people that the Holy Spirit is working through their lives, that they're filled with the power of the Spirit of God, enabling them to be the voices of God in the culture and country in which we live. And Jesus Christ wants the disciples, His friends, to be that. So He's challenging them. He's challenging them to stand up for Jesus Christ. He's challenging them to stand up for the Holy Spirit. He's challenging them, in light of what's about to happen in Israel, that they need to stand up and be counted on God's side. The message was a message of caution, lest we allow the hypocrisy we see in the religious hypocrites to invade our lives and develop a inner life and an outer life so that people see us on the outside and think we're good, but the reality is on the inside we're hypocrites. That will stop the work of God immediately. You understand that the work of God is so dependent on the work of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God doesn't work in dirty vessels. The Spirit of God works in clean vessels. He uses clean people to do His work. You understand that if we try to do the work of God in the power of our own abilities, our own flesh, our own spiritual giftedness, without the active work of the Spirit of God in our hearts at the time, then we don't see spiritual things accomplished. Let me illustrate it this way. You let a preacher preach a sermon, or a Sunday school teacher teach a Sunday school lesson, or a soloist get up and sing a song, or a choir member get up and sing the truth, the doctrines of the faith, the truth of God. And in any of those, a Christian out giving out a tract to somebody, anything of a spiritual endeavor to be able to extend the kingdom of God, if we don't have the Spirit of God working through us, then all we're doing is working in our flesh. And if the Spirit of God is not working through that sermon, through that lesson, through that song being sung, if the Spirit of God is not working in the hearts of people through that medium of truth, then we don't accomplish anything. All we do is go through motions. And that's what Jesus Christ is warning against. You see, when you have a dirty inside, even as a Christian, the Spirit of God doesn't use you. You can have a beautiful voice and get up and sing a beautiful song. You can cause people to say, wow, wasn't that song amazing? But where you were on the internet last night will determine whether or not the Spirit of God uses that, or if that has no value at all to the purpose of God. A Sunday school teacher can teach a phenomenal lesson. People say, wow, that was a great lesson. But if on the inside there are people with sin that they have covered over with their exterior mask, then the Spirit of God doesn't use that person. That lesson has no value. That sermon falls flat and doesn't accomplish anything. That song doesn't minister to the hearts of people, drawing them to Christ. It all depends on the power of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God only works through clean vessels. And what Jesus Christ is concerned about as He winds His ministry down and tries to get these disciples, these friends of His, ready to take the gospel to the world, what He's concerned with is that they be genuine, real, transparent, holy, godly, from the inside out, so that the Spirit of God can do through them what God wants to be done. Just like the Spirit of God worked through Jesus to perform miracles, He wants the Spirit of God to work through Peter, and 3,000 souls got saved in one service. What if Peter was a hypocrite? What if Peter had a wicked heart thinking bad thoughts, whispering and doing bad things. And the Spirit of God couldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. The Spirit of God's not going to use Peter in a month of Sundays. And he gets up and preaches on the day of Pentecost, and not one soul gets saved. That's what Jesus is fighting against. He's warning against. He's challenging the people to stand up, rise to the occasion. Don't be a hypocrite. Be genuine, be real, be holy, be moral, be godly. From the inside, from your brain, from your life, your thought life, your entertainment life, your inside longings and desires. Be a holy, godly person from the inside out. So that when you try to do something for God, the Holy Spirit will take hold of that situation. And the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts of the people to whom you're teaching or giving a tract to or singing a song to. And then the Holy Spirit accomplishes something of eternal value in those lives. And if you get up and try to serve God in the energy of your flesh with a wicked, hypocritical heart, the Holy Spirit stays away from you, doesn't use you. And the work of God is stopped dead in its tracks because of hypocrisy. So Jesus issues a warning to his own friends. You got to be careful about what you allow your inside to be. There's two reasons why you got to be careful. I'm going to expose you, and I'm going to judge you for your inside. And then one challenge. It's time to stand up. Be on the firing line. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Stand up for the Holy Spirit. Be a person that God can use. That's what Jesus Christ is challenging here in this amazing portion of Scripture. So he wraps up hypocrisy at this point and moves on to another totally unrelated subject. But this message on hypocrisy is so vital to our hearts and lives.